Good morning. It's so wonderful to see everyone. It's especially good to look back. I did not know that Alex was here. Man, what a blessing to be able to see him. Too, the Lord's been so good to this congregation in so many ways, and that's just one particular way as I stand here and I'm able to see his face, see his faith, the faith of his parents and his family and his grandparents. What a blessing that is to me. It's good to be able to come to the house of the Lord with God's people. And it's good to have those who are participating and worshiping and studying and praying and singing at home along with us. Thank God that we're no longer separated. Although we are separated by distance, we are united in spirit, united by the Holy Spirit who brings our worship and our praise, not just of this local congregation, but of all the churches, the universal church throughout the world, and lays them before the throne of the Father. What a blessing it is. What a great God we serve. I want to talk this morning about the subject of prayer, or rather, the lack of prayer that's common among many Christians. Through the years, I have heard Christians make excuses for why they didn't pray. Through the years, I have made excuses for why I didn't pray the way that I should. Excuses such as, I don't have enough time, or I'm too busy, or I don't know what to say, or maybe just the admission, I need to pray more, but then not actually making any movement to try and do that. But I want to examine this morning what I believe is a very common reason for why we as Christians don't always pray the way that we should. And I don't think it's one that you would probably have a lot of open admission about. But yet, as I think about myself, I find it as being perhaps one of the greatest hindrances and one of the most commonly stated reasons for why I don't pray. And that is because there are times in my life when I simply do not feel like praying. Now, let me say this on the forefront so we can get it out of the way. I understand that feelings are feelings. Our feelings by no means determine what we do. We are governed and we are guided by not our feelings, but rather a commitment that we have made that goes beyond the way that we feel. And we live our life, and we know we live our life doing many things we don't feel like doing, but we understand the duty, we understand the responsibility, and the obligation. And so I understand that not feeling like praying is not really a great reason for it, but the reality can't be denied that our emotions oftentimes determine things like this. If I find joy, or if you find joy and comfort and peace when you pray, the reality is you're simply going to pray more because you experience those things. Or if you don't feel like praying, for whatever reason that may be, you're going to pray less, and that prayer will be probably drier and more lifeless than the one who has that strong desire. And as I said, while our feelings don't have the power to dictate our actions, they certainly have influence over them. And so if we can learn to control the way that we feel, then largely we can determine our prayer habits. If you don't know this by now, then you should. Preachers are by no means super Christians. There are times when I wake up and I find praying to be a very easy thing to do. There are days where it's very easy for me to pray, where I have a strong desire to speak to the Lord and to speak to Him often, where the words just seem to come from my lips and flow from my heart, where I can feel a nearness to God when I pray. But the reality is there are also days and are times when I'm honest with myself where I don't feel like praying, where my desire to talk to God is weak, where I repeat the same things over and over because the words won't come to me, where it feels like I'm talking to someone who is a million miles away. Now, a lack of desire to pray is an unpleasant admission for a number of reasons. First, in my mind, is because I can never imagine Jesus expressing such a sentiment that he doesn't feel like praying. But while I can't look at Jesus and necessarily think that he would say that, I can certainly look at his apostles, and I can see them expressing that sentiment. Think back to the night that Jesus was betrayed. As he takes them into the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a place where they would pray and a place where Jesus would commune with his Father. He takes the apostles, but he takes Peter, James, and John further on ahead, and he says, come pray with me. Now, that night, Jesus was dealing with great emotional and mental and spiritual distress as he faces off against Satan and what he's going to have to deal with and experience in the next 16 hours or so. And so he goes off on his own three times to pray. And each time he comes back and checks on his disciples, he's told them, pray with me. What are they doing? They're sleeping. Admittedly, it was a late night. It's late in the night at this point. They had just celebrated the Feast of Passover, a very emotional, draining thing. It had been a long, emotionally draining day. They're feeding off of Jesus' emotions as well. And they were tired, And in that moment, the reality was they were concerned a whole lot less about praying and more concerned about sleeping. I don't know about you, but I can relate to the apostles well. And if I'm being perfectly honest with myself, there are times where my circumstances take me to that point where, for whatever reason, I don't feel like praying. Now, if you felt that way before, then you can probably share in the acknowledgement of that emotional response that I have. That is, I feel ashamed of that. It feels wrong. A Christian who doesn't want to pray is, in my mind, when I'm feeling that, like a husband that doesn't want to talk to his wife, or a parent that doesn't want to talk to their children. It's a feeling that makes no logical sense. But we need to realize this desire to not pray should be no surprise. It should come as no surprise to us that we would feel that way, because prayer is one of the most magnificent, powerful, spiritual blessings that God has given us. It's the means by which the burdens of our life are taken off of our shoulders and given into the hands and care of God. It's the means by which we ask God for comfort, for peace, for strength, for hope, for wisdom. Prayer is humanity's plea to invoke the omnipotent hand of God to move on our behalf. So then, should it come as a surprise that Satan would seek to undermine and do anything he can to take a blow at our communication with God? Is it any surprise? The enemy of our soul would throw at us something like this, that is, a desire to not pray, when prayer has the power to make the difference between victory and defeat in our lives. Now, framed in that light, there's a couple important observations that we can make when those times come and we don't feel like praying. One is this: don't be overcome by feelings of shame. Don't be ashamed in that moment. Rather, be on guard. When you have that thought, the tendency is, I know, the tendency is to start berating yourself for not feeling like praying. If I really loved God, would I really have trouble with prayer as I'm having it now? Or is it really so hard for me to take 2 minutes and to talk to God and to tell him about what I'm feeling without getting distracted? Should Christians feel this way? What must God think of me as he looks at me and sees that failed desire there? Now, what we need to understand is, more often than not, this desire doesn't come from within, but it comes from without. It's Satan's assault upon our faith. It's Satan's assault upon our soul to try and sever that line of communication that we have with God. That fateful night in Gethsemane, Jesus told his apostles, pray so that you don't enter into temptation. They didn't pray. They fell asleep. Satan was able to sever that line of communication, that help they would have had from God. And when it came time to stand and fight, and they tried to stand on their own feeble power because they hadn't prayed, they all forsook Jesus. They all fled. And so rather than being ashamed for not wanting to pray, we need to be put on guard in that moment. And secondly, we need to be ready to respond when those times come upon us. We don't need to be like the apostles. We don't need to be caught off guard. We need to figure out first, why am I feeling this way? Why do I not want to pray? What Satan does is he looks for chinks in our armor spiritually. He looks for weaknesses. He looks for vulnerabilities. And then he worms through our defenses, and he will attack us with this lack of interest, this lack of desire to pray, and stir that up within us. So what we need to do is be looking. What's Satan's point of attack? Where is he coming in my life? So that we can fortify that particular spot in our armor. And then we need to know, how are we going to actually respond to that? Look for why it is we feel this way, and then determine, how do I respond to that? When those times come, there's some things we need to remember, and there's some things that we need to do. So point one is this: come to terms with the reality there will be times when we don't want to pray. And understand that this doesn't necessarily come from within, but more so from without. It's Satan's assault upon our faith and upon our soul. But also hear me when I say this. One cannot have a healthy spiritual life and remain in that state, that disinterest of prayer. There will be days, there may be weeks, there will be seasons where we struggle with the desire to pray. But you cannot perpetually live your life just having no interest in prayer. Just not possible for the Christian. No more than a husband and wife can sustain a healthy marriage if neither of them want to talk to the other. There may be times when that comes along where they were feeling that emotion, but you cannot sustain it, and so you have to deal with it. You've got to lean in on God. You've got to push through those feelings so that you can rediscover the joy and the hope and the peace that prayer gives. This is point two. identify why it is you feel this way. Why is my disinterest in prayer? Why can't I pray? Why don't I feel like praying? Several reasons. And there may be more beyond this. I encourage you, if you find yourself in this state, you examine yourself. You can look at your own life, and you have to make that determination. There's no specific reason as to why Christians always feel this way, just a series of different reasons. Here are a few. One, if you're living in sin knowingly and you do not want to repent, you will have absolutely no desire to pray at all. If you're harboring sin in your heart and you refuse to let it go, you simply won't want to pray, because nothing will kill your desire to pray more quickly than sin. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." The evil person here who will not come to the light is not necessarily the non-believer. The same thing can be true of the stubborn child of God who is unrepentantly clinging to their sin. Now, we see this very thing happening in the Garden of Eden, don't we? Before the fall, God told Adam and Eve, "Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that's in the middle of the garden." The serpent appears. He tests Eve. He tempts Eve. She and Adam disobey. They eat from that tree that God commanded them not to. Their eyes are open. They realize they've sinned. What's the first thing they do? They go and hide. They hide from God. They get away from the presence of God because they know that they have disobeyed. Now, in prayer, what we do is we enter into the throne room of the Lord. We enter into the presence of God. Our spirit is there. And if you're living in sin and you refuse to confess it, refuse to forsake it, you are not going to willingly enter into God's presence in prayer, because there, as Jesus says, his light will reveal the darkness of the sin that you love. And so your desire to pray, if you're living in unrepentant sin, will be zero. That may be a reason why you don't want to pray. Or it may be because you're out of touch with God. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the basis of eternal life is knowing God. We can explore that some other time. The basis of eternal life is knowing God and knowing Christ. To know God means to be in relationship with God. To be in relationship with God means to be in communication with God. To be in communication with God is that we take in his word and we send up our prayers to him. If you've struggled trying to find a desire to pray all of your life, you need to examine your relationship with the Lord. And it may be that prayer is a dry and boring duty because God has never been your friend, and that's a scary thought to consider. Or perhaps you've walked closely with the Lord in the past, but you've kind of gravitated away for some reason or another. Something has distracted you, and your communication with the Lord has fallen off. And like an old friend with whom you're trying to reconnect, there were things in common in the past, but not so much now. That conversation feels awkward and uncomfortable. And if you're out of touch with God, you might not want to pray the way you should. Perhaps you don't want to pray because you feel like you don't have a great need for God. Your marriage is good. Your life is good. Your job is good. Your family is good. You feel like my life is under control. I really don't need to pray. There's an old saying that we should treat prayer like our steering wheel, not as a spare tire. But what many Christians are happy to do is they're happy to, as long as life is good, put God and prayer up on a box on their shelf. And then when tragedy strikes, they get it down and then they invoke the help of God. They only turn to him when there's trouble. So maybe you're not praying because you don't feel like you need to. Maybe you're not praying because your affections are elsewhere, because you've set your affections on the things of this earth. And Jesus tells the parable about the sower, and he casts the seed out in the thorny ground, and it springs up quickly and begins to grow, but the thorns that are there choke it out, choke out its productivity. If your affections are set on the things of this earth, on your job, on solely on the things of this earth, on your job or your family or your friends, your relationships, your interests, your hobbies, if that's where your heart is, you're going to give your heart, you're going to give your best to whatever it is that has your heart. And if your heart, your affections are set on the things of this earth, they're going to be set on things above. You're going to find it difficult to pray. Or if you find yourself too busy to pray, it may very well be you're busier than God intended you to be. Maybe you feel disappointed in God. God doesn't disappoint us if we understood things as he does, but I think sometimes we're unable to see how he's working, and that causes us to feel a certain degree of disappointment. You think of the prophet Elijah. He's been off hiding for 3 years in this Gentile territory, being cared for by this widow. God calls him out, says, "You're going back to King Ahab. Things for you to do." And there's this great showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. And God emerges victorious. God is revealed as the one true God, and Baal is shown to be false and pseudo. Very high mountaintop. Coming down, Jezebel threatens Elijah's life. He goes back on the run, and he is disappointed with the way things work out. And it may be that we're disappointed with God, that there's something very near and very dear to us, and we've been praying and praying and praying, and it hasn't turned out like we've wanted. And so maybe we feel disenchanted, and maybe we think, I asked God 100 times for that, and he said no. Why should I bother asking again? And so that disappointment can create emotions within us that make it hard to pray. Or maybe it is, and I think this really nails it a lot of the times, we just lack the self-discipline. Listen, prayers work. Prayer takes time. Prayer takes sacrifice. You've got to give something up. That description, because I think it captures what prayer is sometimes, laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Listen, prayer is spiritual work. It takes sacrifice, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes thought. And it may be that in a world full of distractions and materialism and wealth and pleasures that are here and now, we haven't developed the self-discipline to stop those physical stimulations and constant entertainment and engaging in this spiritual discipline. The list could go on. When you don't feel like praying, you need to stop and you need to look inward and you need to determine, why do I feel this way? Maybe it's something I've mentioned, maybe not. But you need to reflect in those moments and say, why am I experiencing this? Why am I feeling this? And then finally, you need to know how you're going to respond to that temptation. Now, let me offer you a few thoughts just of things that I would do, things that I try to do when these seasons come upon me. And maybe you'll find something in there as well, things from God's Word. One, pray with brutal honesty. Pray with brutal honesty. That is, tell God exactly what it is you're feeling. I heard one old preacher say, God knows what you're feeling, so you might as well tell him. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you're angry at God for something. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's weakness. Maybe it's frustration. The reasons, and we think this, the reasons we might not pray this way, very brutally, very honestly, is because we think that it's disrespectful. Hear me when I say this. God can handle your emotions. God can handle your anger. God can handle your frustrations. He's bigger than that. He can handle your weaknesses. He can handle your disappointment. You go and listen to how Moses prays, and it's with brutal honesty. He didn't hold anything back. Now, yes, he was respectful in the way that he did it, but he didn't hold anything back that he was feeling when it came to the things that he was dealing with. He had no qualms with letting God know how he felt. The prophet Jonah gets angry at God and fusses at him. Go read Jonah chapter 4. Don't recommend that you fuss at God like Jonah did. However, he was right in his assumption that God was big enough to handle the anger that he felt. And rather than blasting Jonah to smithereens, as we think God might should have done, even in his anger as he complains against God, God listens compassionately and tries to bring the prophet around to his way of thinking. Elijah tells God, I've just had enough. Just take my life. Get me out of this world. Put an end to me. He poured his out before the Lord, heart out before the Lord, and God comes in a soft whisper in the wind, speaks to the prophet Elijah, and on it goes. Listen, these are men of faith. These are men of example. These are men who had astounding prayer lives before God. And in this time of weakness, whenever they were feeling this, and they were angry or frustrated or whatever it was, they prayed very honestly with the Lord. And God listened, and he answered. Listen, God can take the worst of us and still give us the best of himself, because that's who he is. So don't dance around the issue. If you're feeling some particular strong emotion, pray brutally, honestly, with God. Don't let that anger or disappointment simmer and become bitterness. That's only going to make the situation worse. Secondly, ask God to show you what is in the way. When we don't want to pray, it's because something's stopping us. It's rightfully said that for the soul,
prayer is, or rather, prayer for the soul is like oxygen for the body. Now, if your body is struggling to breathe, something serious is wrong. And you're going to go and you're going to get that looked at so that you can resolve the issue just as quickly as possible. And if as a Christian you are struggling to pray, you're going through this long season where your prayers are dry and the desire is not there, you need to figure out what it is that's causing the problem. Go to God and ask God to show you what's in the way. That's what David does. He says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so David opens his heart up completely to the Lord. Oftentimes when we pray, try to keep part of it closed off. Maybe God won't see that. Maybe God won't go there. But David opens up the deepest and darkest recesses of his heart. He wants to know if there is anything hindering his relationship with the Lord. If there's something wrong spiritually and you want it to be fixed, ask God to show you what it is. And I guarantee you that he will. It may come from a friend. It may come from his word. It may come from a sermon. It may come from any number of sources. But if you want to be fixed and there's something wrong spiritually, ask God to show you what it will, and he will do so. Pray like David for God to test your heart and to lead you through whatever is blocking the way. If it's sin, confess it and forsake it. If it's a lack of commitment, then stop holding back. If it's a lack of love, then start giving it. Ask God to show you what's hindering your desire to pray, and then by his grace and with his help, remove whatever it is that stands in the way. In those dry seasons, in those times when you don't feel like praying and don't want to pray, recognize the Spirit's intercession. The flesh is weak. We're not naturally drawn and inclined to do what is right. The desires of our flesh cry out for satisfaction. Being a Christian is like swimming upstream. You have to make deliberate efforts to do so. We're not drawn toward the spiritual. When you don't want to pray, you need to realize you're not on your own. But you also need to realize that God has made provision for times such as that. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we don't know how we should pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints of God according to his will." Listen, Christian, there's comfort in knowing when I don't feel like praying, that God's Spirit carries my groanings before his throne in accordance with his will. And the next point I find to be particularly comforting, and I believe if you will practice this in those dry and despairing times, that God will bring you through. Sometimes we might not pray because we think, well, I can't pray for an hour. I can't pray for 30 minutes. I can't pray for 2 minutes right now. I just don't have that in me. You need to realize, you don't always have to pray for long. I stand by what I've said in the past and will continue to teach this in other contexts and other lessons. We have a need for lengthier, deeper conversations with God that I call closet prayers. But sometimes we may not be able to muster the strength for prayer such as that. And in those moments, we don't need to let our emotions and our weakness keep us from praying. One old brother put it like this. I like this. "I may not pray for long, but I never go for long without praying." Let me say this. It's not the length of the prayer that determines the potency. It's not the eloquence. It's not how long it is. Rather, it's the mediator, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God, and it's Almighty God himself who hears and answers our prayers. Two of the most powerful prayers in all of Scripture are one-liners. They are, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's powerful. Because the Pharisee who prayed so eloquently and beautifully and long went home in the same sinful state that he came in. But the man who humbled himself and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," went home justified. Then the thief on the cross, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom." In Psalm 139, David said, "He himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." That's how it feels in times when your prayer life is weak and the desire isn't there. You just don't have any strength at all. God knows. God knows because he made us. He made us from dust, and there are times when we have no more strength than the dust of the earth. But if you can, in that moment, muster up a few thoughts before the Lord in prayer, he will hear and he will honor that. And he will bring you through to drier, greener prayer life. Finally, when you don't want to pray, pray anyway. Renato Cardoso said, first motion, then emotion. Maybe you can relate to this. You ever sat down and ate a meal, not because you were hungry, but because you know your body needed food? Some of you probably can't relate to that in any sense at all. But if maybe you've sat down, not hungry, but you knew you needed to eat. You started eating, and in the process of eating, your appetite started to grow slowly. And all of a sudden, you realized that you were truly ravenous. First motion, then emotion. You just need to keep praying. Don't stop. Keep praying. And God will bring you through whatever it is that you're facing. Nothing should motivate us to seek the face of Jesus more than a lack of motivation. We have the divine promise of God, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. God's presence is not based off our feelings. We need to remember this. God's presence is not based off of our feeling. It's based off of his promises. When you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. There are going to be times in our life when we don't feel like praying or we don't want to pray. Recognize one, this is an assault on your faith by the devil. It's his attempt to sever that divine line of communication, that divine help that comes from God. When that happens, look inwardly and try to find out, why am I feeling this way? Why am I dealing with this? And then don't just wait for the desire to come back. Move forward. Pray with brutal honesty. Ask God to show you what's blocking the way. Remember the intercessor who prays for you with groanings that can't be uttered when you don't feel like praying. Realize that it doesn't have to be long. It can be heartfelt. And in those moments, pray anyway. What you'll find is God will rekindle your desire to pray. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when you begin to miss the communion you have with God in prayer. This morning, if you've never taken that first step, become a Christian, giving your life to Jesus Christ, confessing him as your Lord, turning from your sin, embracing the avenue and the power and the beauty that you have with him at God's right hand as your intercessor in prayer, you need to take that step. You don't have anyone standing in your corner. You don't have anyone fighting for you if Jesus is not your Savior. And according to his words, according to his command, he said, believe. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's his promise. And it's nothing about earning our salvation. It's about trusting God for all of the needs that we can't provide ourselves and knowing he will provide them. And then it's dying with him in water and allowing God to wash our sins away. If you're here this morning and you've not become a Christian, I encourage you to take that step. Or if you're going through a dry season in your life and you just can't get yourself out of it, this church stands here to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to pray with you, to pray for you, if that's not something you're able to do right now. If we can help you in any way, would you make your way down front while we stand and while we sing?